Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in. Hi. Let's go.
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
Hello. Saturday Nation, it's Sam Crowley back with the Everyday Saturday podcast. Let's make this the best day ever. Hey, normally I end with that. Why don't we start with that today? Here's a quote, and I want to share this with you. And then I want to talk about this. And I really want to get this point home. So pay attention. Put down everything. Unless you're driving, don't put down the steering wheel. Okay? Here we go. Let's talk about fear. And being in a prison of our fear. Because you have greatness inside. You know you have greatness inside. Yet, you might not be realizing that. Let's take a look at this, okay? Wild animals run from the dangers they actually see. And once they've escaped them, worry no more. We, however, are tormented alike by what is past and what is to come. A number of our blessings do us harm. For memory brings back the agony of fear, while foresight brings it on prematurely. No one confines his unhappiness to the present. Thank you, Tim Ferriss, for sending that to me. And if you don't follow Tim Ferriss online, please do. Follow him on Twitter, Instagram, all over the place. He's the author of The 4-Hour Workweek and the source from where I steal some of my best stuff. I'm just kidding. I steal my stuff from a lot of people besides Tim Ferriss. But anyway, think about that. Man, that hit me like a ton of bricks right between the eyes. Wild animals run from dangers that they actually see, and once they've escaped, they don't worry anymore. They don't worry anymore. Man, there's so many places to go. Let's start. You ever been bankrupt? You ever lose anything? Everything? I know a lot of entrepreneurs. It's funny. There's like a bankrupt club. You know, once I filed bankruptcy back in 2005, I literally thought I was a leopard. I thought I was the only person on planet Earth that had ever done that. It was so humiliating. I was disgusted with myself. I was so embarrassed because I'd built myself up on this pride ladder, like step, 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 all the way to the top. Corporate, you know, running the division, $90 million, all this money and title and blah, blah, blah. And it all got taken away within 90 days. Who goes broke that fast? I've got to look at the Guinness Book of World Records. Taking out people who gamble, I may have gone bankrupt faster than anybody, and I'm damn proud of it because I'm here to report to you that the sun still comes up tomorrow. But think about that. Have you ever filed bankruptcy? Think about your most humiliating time of your life. So for me, that was it. So I want you to think about this. Let's do this exercise, okay? So if wild animals run from the dangers that they actually see, and once they've escaped them, they worry no more, I would consider failure that danger, you know? Like, okay, I've got that in my rearview mirror, but it's still this albatross around my neck. What is it with you? Was it a failure, a business failure, relationship failure? Maybe you're divorced. Maybe something else happened that caused significant pain to you. What was it? So let's go to the next line. We're tormented by what is past and what's to come. Man, I can tell you, I was tormented. Now, I got back on the horse faster than most because that's just the way my mind is. I don't know what that is, man. I blocked it out, you know, ever since I was a kid. And I guess I'll go deep into some Dr. Phil here for you as well. But I grew up the youngest of eight kids. Mom was 40, almost 41 when she had me, raging alcoholic. I've talked about that a lot. And not talking ill about the dead. You know, my mom died last week on July 7th. I said that was 20 years ago she died. That's something I got a real hard time with. You know, my faith tells me we're all together at the end in heaven. And I get that, okay? I get that. But when you lose a parent, and if you've never lost a parent, You will, and I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying no one escapes this game called life alive. So that's really another reason why we got to make the best of every single moment. But I'll say it haunts me. That's kind of a tough word. But you know what I'm talking about? You lost a parent. Maybe you've lost a spouse. I'm sorry. And God forbid losing a child. You know, my friend Carla Zandi passed away 5 years ago next week, July 21st, on her 45th birthday back in 2012. Went to high school with her, grade school with her. Grew up Bradford, PA, and she's been dead 5 years. It doesn't even make sense to me. You know, you ever lost a friend to cancer or lost a friend or somebody young? And to have a parent lose a child, that is not the way it's supposed to happen. That stuff freaks me out. I'm just telling you, it does. But I'm standing on my faith, and I believe that God brings us all together. I really do believe that. And I also believe, and I really do believe, that bad things happen to good people, and there is a reason for that. I don't know what it is. I don't know why my mom got dealt the worst hand. Not the worst. Obviously, everybody's got it worse. You can always find someone that has it worse. But husband leaves when you got 8 kids, goes crazy, leaves you with no money, you're on welfare and food stamps. What the hell is that all about? Like, why? Where's the justice in that? Well, hey, here I am to preach the Everyday Saturday Gospel to let people know that no matter where you come from, you can change generations of your family. And it really is amazing. I mean, I look at my 4 daughters right now. They don't even remember me having a job. None of them have, and the only one that even would be Madeline, because she was 3 years old when I was in the corporate world before I quit the first time. The other two, forget it. They have no recollection of me ever going to a job. And that makes me smile. That really does. It makes me happy because, you know, that's what I want. I want my kids to know me as the goofy dad who drops them off in the drop-off line. I do my very best to embarrass them every morning. I drop them off. I throw stuff out the window at them. I yell at them. I talk in different dialects and voices and high pitch. I sing to them. I shout. I scream. I tell them, see them at practice later. All that stuff. Ask them if they're wearing clean underwear. I just yell it out the door with the windows down. And it embarrasses the crap out of them. And that's why we have children, is to embarrass them. Matter of fact, I think, at least the way I look, that's the only reason we have children, is to embarrass them at every chance we can. And it makes me happy that they don't ever remember me going to work in the morning. Like, I'm always here when they're making their breakfast, getting ready to school, pick them up, take them to practice, cross-country lacrosse, Madeline's on academic team. Go figure that. I've got a child who's on academic team. Which one of these doesn't go with the other? But anyway, my point being, this stuff tortured me back in the day. Like, I got back on the horse quick after going bankrupt. I had to. Like, I went back to the job, got laughed at, ridiculed, made fun of, all that good stuff, let everybody take their shots at me. But in the meantime, I started scheming about what I was really going to do. And just like the wild animal, I didn't have this quote back then, but just like the wild animal, once I escaped that danger, I tried not to worry anymore about it. It was tough, man. I mean, it was a good 60 days of beating myself up. I mean, I remember taking me all the way through Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2005 was about 60 days. Christmas of 2005 was a good 60 days after I had filed bankruptcy, October 18th. And I remember looking on the internet to find out how to make money online right around that Christmas vacation. See, I used those 2 weeks off from work to research how to get out of that job that I just went back to. Isn't that funny? Just 6, you'd think I'd be grateful. Like, and I was grateful. And I don't want to say I wasn't grateful. I was grateful for the opportunity to take the pressure off, to go back to work. They didn't have to take me back. Now, albeit they took me back and then beat the crap out of me, and I beat the crap out of them and burnt the bridge and blew it up after. But all of that to be said, I still was looking. I didn't lose that. See, I didn't stay in that tormented past of what it was happening and what was to come. And at that time, I was still going in front of the bankruptcy trustee for the Southwest District of Ohio just about once a month because my finances were very complicated. I had 40 rentals and an LLC, which, by the way, was protected from the Chapter 13 bankruptcy, so I did not lose those. There's a little bit of advice. I am not an attorney. Do not take my advice. I shouldn't have said advice, but you know what I mean. Like, that was advice that I got. Put your rentals in an LLC, and if you file Chapter 13, those are protected. You file Chapter 7, you lose them all. Chapter 13 is you do a payment plan back with the trustee, and she or he disperses your payments back to your creditors. And after my plan was for 36 months, and after that's paid off, I believe it was $400 and some odd dollars every 2 weeks that came out of my paycheck. $800 bucks a month. 3 years later, it was all paid off. So I started looking at what was to come. I did not continue to let that humiliating, terrible experience in my life be, you know, sabotage any future success that I may have. As a matter of fact, I launched my business while in the middle of that bankruptcy, as you know, if you've listened to the story. No one confines their unhappiness to the present. Why can't we do that? Why can't we just confine something bad that happens to us to right now, to just today, and just compartmentalize that, see it for what it is. It's an event. It's not you. You are not a failure. You know you're not a failure, but everybody will tell you that you are. Don't, look, I got the advice. I got it. All the, don't do anything too risky. Get out of here, man. I'm going to build a site. I'm going to start podcasting. I'm going to speak. I'm going to get some credit cards. Hey, I got the prepaid credit cards. I started with a $200 limit on, I think it was called Premier Card, something like that. That's all I could get, man. I was walking around with a big dunce cap on. And my wife at the time, still, she had credit. She did not file bankruptcy. So I was the idiot that, matter of fact, I had to use my wife's credit to go get a Honda Civic 2005, no electric windows, barely had air conditioning. It was brand new, though, and I was grateful for that Honda Civic. You don't know how grateful I was. And you know what? To this day, that's the only car I've ever owned that when I went to trade it in, it actually rose in value. Like, not higher than when I first bought it, but higher than what the payoff was. Isn't that amazing? Because gas prices were so high in 2009, they were up around $4 a gallon, I think. And they're right around there, $3 to $4 a gallon. It's pretty high. And my Civic was just going, it was like $15,000. And it might have been more than what I paid for it. I don't know, man. I was getting these crazy offers online because I'd listed it there. And I ended up trading it in and still got a great deal from the dealer because it did have a dent in it or something like that. Anyway, I was grateful for that Honda Civic. So grateful. I didn't care if it had electric windows. I didn't even care if it had windows. I was just grateful, and I wasn't going to be a prisoner. So my wife put me as an authorized user on whatever credit card she had to help build my credit. So if you have somebody, if your spouse has great credit and you don't, get added to their account as an authorized user. I don't know if you got to be related or maybe just a buddy of yours. You can be an authorized user on their account, which gives you the benefit of that account reporting to the credit agencies with good credit. And slowly but surely, look, I got a 750 credit score now. You know, and I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying I refuse to be a prisoner of my past or my future. Okay? Nobody just confines their unhappiness to the present. I did. I do now. If I'm unhappy, it's going to keep me unhappy that day. Look, guys, I get down. You cannot be me, somebody who's always, oh, and not come crashing down at some point. I've got my Netflix glass of wine nights where I just go into, look, I'm not depressed. I need to decompress. I need to just kind of chill out. So right now I'm watching The Wire on Netflix, if you've never, or not on Amazon Video, waiting for Homeland to come back up in billions. Those are my two favorite shows. But I'm watching The Wire right now on Amazon Prime Video, and it's free with your subscription. I get a little glass of wine at night. I kind of put the headphones in. We put Susan down. She watches Mickey Mouse. My wife reads. Whatever we got to do just to kind of chill out in the same room because our time together is so damn valuable. Like I mentioned, we're going on our first date tonight in a long time, our sixth date in 3 years. Six dates in 3 years. Still married, though. Still married. A lot of spouses want to find reasons to get divorced and leave each other, and you've changed. Well, of course you've changed. You've been together 30 years. Who the hell doesn't change in 30 days? It's so funny, man. We marry the person we love. I hope you don't mind I'm going off on the rails on this podcast. It's what the show is, though. If you don't get that by now, keep listening. You'll get it. So many times, man, we marry the person we love. We fall in love with this person. And then we want to change them. It's like, why do you want to change? You fell in love with this person, you know, and now you're going to work on. You got to change. Or you've changed. It's like, come on, man. We're human beings. And again, enjoy it. Enjoy. Don't be a prisoner of the past. If you flub the dub, look, let me tell you something, man. Relationships are real. People have affairs. People get cheated on. People go bankrupt. People steal money from the other. You got to be willing to forgive, because if you can't, then you should never be forgiven. You understand that? Then you don't earn forgiveness from anybody else. We're out there all, hey, you got to forgive what I did. Okay, well, how many people have you forgiven? Okay, why don't you start looking at the person in the mirror? How forgiving are you to somebody when they do you wrong? The book that I read, it tells you to bless your enemies. Pray for them. You know, they steal $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. Give them $20,000 more. You know, they do you wrong. Help them out. Give them the coat off your back. That's the book that I read. I ain't perfect. I'm not even telling you that I do that all the time, but I am saying I've been given grace and I've been given mercy. And for me not to give that to somebody else, come on, man. Then I'm just a hypocrite. Then I'm just like everybody else out there asking for stuff that I can't give myself. So if you're not willing to give forgiveness, then you're not willing to receive it. It's as simple as that. Grace, mercy, all of that. We should lead. Wouldn't the world be a better place? Wouldn't Twitter be a better place? Facebook, to be honest, if people did that. Let's wind it back to the original premise of this podcast, okay? And let me read this quote again, and let's leave it here because I need you to understand this. This is so freaking important for you to understand. This will change. If you allow it, this will change where you're going in a positive way. Let's do it one more time. You ready? Wild animals run from the dangers that they actually see. P.S. How many dangers do you not even see and you're always running from? All right, let's keep it real. Wild animals run from the dangers they actually see, and once they've escaped them, they don't worry anymore. Okay? Cool. We, however, are tormented alike by what is past and what is to come. Don't do that anymore. Don't be tormented by your past, and don't worry, which is a down payment on a problem that most likely will never happen. Next line. A number of our blessings do us harm, for memory brings back the agony of fear, while foresight brings it on prematurely. No one confines his unhappiness to the present. Let it go. You hear me? Let it go. It's okay, man. If you want to just, you know, take some time today, get the old boo-hoo out of your system, we come back and get it tomorrow. Better, hell, even later today, depending on when you're listening to this show. But don't let it confine you. Don't let it stop you, and don't let it limit you, man. Sure, people are let the other people judge. Some people are professional. Christ, they should be walking around with a black cloak on, hitting a gavel every day. I'm judging you. You go ahead and judge me. But you better watch me, man. You better watch me because I'm onto something big. I'm onto something big. I'm onto something big!
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.